Thank you, band. That was wonderful. Wonderful. Morning's not finished yet. Going to pass the collections boxes around before I forget. If you're a visitor among us, please feel free just to let this pass you by. It's an opportunity for those who would like to just to give. Thank you. It's my privilege today just to introduce Pete. Some of you might have seen him around recently, every now and again. It's good to do life with family, isn't it? So I'm sure Pete needs no introduction, but we just love what God's doing in and through him. We just say, do more, Lord. I know his heart is to bring something from the Father today, not just to give you some good bits of information. He wants to be a conduit of what God has got for us. So, Lord, we pray for him. Lord, that you would anoint his words, that they would speak to our hearts, that we'd be changed and be more like Jesus as a result. Amen.
Thanks, Martin. Okay, morning. A lot happens in 7 days, hey? And I'm a little bit tired. My son Luca is not too well. We had a disturbed night with him. So Leo's at home nursing him back to health. So be great to you can pray for him. That'd be cool. I want to talk this morning about the will of the Father. And I'm going to explain a little bit about why I'm doing that as we go. But you know, his will is that you would know his love, that you would be immersed in him. And whatever you're feeling right now, this morning, whatever you've been through over the last few days, the last few weeks, the last few months, he wants to catch you up in his affection. I'm so pleased we just sang that over the mountains and the sea. You haven't sang that for years, and Sarah, you got me. Just so good. I could sing of his love forever. We only get to sing of it forever if we experience it. Let's be a people that experience it, not just talk about it, because it will change us from the inside out. And it'll never disappoint us. It'll stop us getting dry and crusty and struggling with this life. I've been in various rooms over this last week. Some of them I've been with you in. Some of them I've been with other people in. And I've had to be different things in different rooms. And if I was trying to do all of that in my own strength, I wouldn't be stood here this morning able to go again and impart something again that might be helpful for us. Roland has been a dear, dear part of this church, not for that long, but I love the fact that he's been with us. I remember connecting with Roland and Margaret a few years back when I was getting involved with the Good Friday scene in town, and I wanted to shift the focus a little bit at that point and get us sharing some testimonies about what Jesus is doing in people's lives now, not just the story of Easter, brilliant and central as that is to our faith, but actually that Jesus is alive, that he was resurrected, and therefore he is moving in power in people's lives now. So I remember just connecting with Roland and Margaret and them just sharing story after story after story of what God had done in their lives, but also in the lives of countless other people. And I think that's how I connected with Dashni, and you know, just brilliant. And so we're gonna miss him. And I think the timing with Peter going as well is a lot. And I think some of us are feeling it. I think some of us guys in the room are feeling it. Girls probably too. We've lost two significant fathers in a really quick space of time. And so that, yeah. And we're allowed to catch our breath. And I love that we had that time just at the start of this morning just to hug each other and pray with each other and remind each other of truth, worship together. What Ruth read out in that worship time was just so powerful. But you know, just get this sense that the skyline, the landscape, it does change with generations. Have you noticed? You'll be aware of folks in your own lives who are no longer with us. And actually, there's a rightness about that, because actually that's the nature of life that we're living in, but also of that's not it, is it? There's a what's to come-ness in all of this. And I wasn't going to share this, but I'm gonna share it. I hope you don't mind. I went out for a jog on Wednesday morning, and it was a jog, not a run, because I wanted to pray. And I can't run fast and pray at the same time yet, but I can at least jog and pray. And I was praying in tongues, and I just was running through Gallywood Common, and I just heard Peter's voice. And it was just a cheerful voice. And Peter had a way of saying hello that was cheerful. And he said, "Hello, Roland." And I just thought, I wasn't thinking about any, I was praying in tongues. And I was praying in tongues. I mean, this is just good thing for us generally. If you've got a lot going on in life and you're consumed, just take some time just to pray in tongues. It just bypasses your brain and all your thoughts and all of that. And so I was just literally praying in tongues. But then this voice just jumped in and said, "Hello, Roland." And I got home and I said to Leo, it's the strangest moment just then, and let it go. And then obviously first thing Friday morning, Margaret phones and shared the news about Roland, and the first thing that I went to was that thought, and read into it what you will. It comforted me. I hope it's comfort to Anita, to Margaret, I say that really sensitively, because I don't want to over-egg it, and I don't want you to think that there's something that I've got going on that you haven't got going on or anything like that. It's none of that. But if it's comforting to you, receive it. We're living for there and not just here, aren't we? Like Peter, Roland lived for there, but also he lived to pour out as much as there, here. As much of what's there here as possible. And he didn't stop, genuinely, did he? And we've been the recipients of that. Which has been wonderful. I loved that they had a Flame of Revival meeting last Friday, and Mike, who was with us last Sunday, was with them on Friday, and obviously with Raj and the team for the weekend. And I just thought, what a cool, you know, last weekend. And just again, seeing Roland, you know, praying on Sunday morning and having words for people and stuff was great. Mike hadn't met Mike before last weekend, and it was great to meet him. I like to connect with the people who come and preach that I would give this microphone to before they do, and he just kind of snuck through, and I'll tell you, the way it came about was I've been a few months ago, I was given an invitation to go to Brazil, and completely out of the blue, invitation to go to Brazil. Brazil's been in revival for 100 years. There is so much salvation, healing, miracles going on in Brazil. It's absolutely amazing. And I know numbers of you guys some of you have been. And Colombia as well, been in Revival for 31 years. And so crazy stuff going on there in terms of salvations and people having encounters with Jesus and all the rest. And so somebody felt stirred that I should go. And so they've literally given me a trip there. And so I was invited to go on Randy Clark's ministry team with Global Awakening. Some of you will have heard of Randy Clark, some not perhaps, but great man of God, evangelist, healing anointing, general, you know, inducer of revival where he goes. And in fact, he was the guy, if you were around in the 90s, he was a relative unknown guy who was invited to come and preach at a certain church in Toronto. And that was the night that the Holy Spirit fell in power across that church. People just falling down in the presence of God and getting up radically changed. And then John Arnott, who's the pastor of that church, then invited him, said, you can't go home. You need to come and we need to see if this was a one night only thing or is God going to move again? And so Randy stayed another night and another night became another night and another night. And then this fire just spread around the world. Those of you that remember that, that spiritual fire of that blessing that poured out of Toronto and impacted the body of Christ. And so opportunity to go and, you know, be on a ministry team with Randy Clark for a week, it sounded good, didn't it? And that would happen. And then Raj said, hey, there's this fella, Mike, who's connected to Randy Clark. Would you be up for him coming and sharing? And I thought, well, that's weird. Like, you know, because I'm not part of the Global Awakening thing. I've heard Randy a few times, but not that many times. And so I thought, well, that's strange. So I said, yeah, let's go for it. And then Mike gets here, and then we are chatting just before the meeting. And I said to him, I'm coming to Brazil in September. And he said, you're joking. He said, there's 6 trips a year that Randy does. And he said, that's the only one I'm going on. So now the pair of us are going on this trip, which I know that just felt to me like God was doing something. And obviously he felt really stirred and, you know, felt some affection for us, which was really lovely. And we got to connect with him over lunch afterwards, which was great. And just to hear his heart. And, you know, he shared a message. And if I'm honest, I felt like his message was a bit all over the place because he was kind of diving in and out of different stories. But he was just triggering me with a few different thoughts that he had. One of the things that he mentioned was they'd had a lady on their team in China had this experience of getting sick and potentially dying. I don't know if she was actually classified. Was she actually classed as dead? So yeah, so died. Had a heavenly encounter of discovering that actually her name wasn't there, and she actually felt the Father come and take hold of her hand and say, come with me. And as he did, she came back to life and was back in the hospital, able to tell this story. And of course, he was honest, saying actually we'd made assumptions about the people on our team. So this whole thing of actually, do we know that we're saved? Do we know we're born again? And again, that's come up this morning, isn't it, Linda, when you were sharing you spoke so well. So well. You managed to wrap up what lots of us are thinking and feeling. Thank you. And also you laid out that challenge again of, hey, do we know where we stand? Do we know where we're going? And it's just got me thinking a little bit about actually, how do we know? Because you know what? You should know. And actually, there's an assurance that we get to live with. We get to know. Yeah? And there was a scripture that Mike read, which is from Matthew 7. And actually, this is one of those passages that causes people a little bit of of trepidation, perhaps, and if not handled well. And so I just felt like I just wanted to break it open for us. Is that all right? And hopefully put some confidence into us that we know who we are, we know whose we are, we know who knows us, and we definitely know where we're going. Amen? So Matthew 7, 21 to 23 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles?' Then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers.'" So, yeah, that they are tough verses, aren't they? And I've had various conversations with Christians over the years who actually would find verses like this terrifying. And there'd be a sense of being unnerved in their salvation. And almost this sense of like the enemy wanting to get in and trip them up. So I just felt like it'd be helpful just to chat a little bit about this. Mike asked the question, he actually used the phrase, do we know we're saved? Do we know our names are written in the book of life, in the Lamb's book of life? And of course, my little ears pricked up because some of you will know my story, me and my brother's story of I was 4 years old and I was introduced in a Sunday school setting to the idea that there is a God, that this God is knowable, that this God has a name, that this God's name is Jesus, and he's really good, and he's full of love, and he wants to be my friend, and I could know him, and he's got a book, and in this book is where he puts the names of all of his friends. And did I want to be his friend? And at 4 years old, something just clicked inside of me. And I was gripped with this idea that I could be friends with Jesus. I could know him. And it's never left me. There was an assurance that came to me. Now, you know what's funny? I knew nothing about sin. I knew nothing about the cross. I knew nothing about Jesus dying for me. I knew nothing about the resurrection. Nothing. All I knew was that there was a God and his name's Jesus and he's really good and I can be friends with him. I was 4 years old. I put my trust in him. And of course, over the years, I then discovered, wow. But you know what? None of it's undermined where I started at the beginning. And there is a need for us to come like children. And so, you see, this the Lamb's Book of Life is mentioned in Scripture. It's actually there. It's in your Bibles. You can find it in Revelation. Jesus never mentions it. Never mentions he's got a book. But it is absolutely there in Scripture. And I was thinking about, you know, what we do is we kind of, we modernize our understanding of what that means. We, in our minds, we go to a physical book, don't we? And we westernize it as well. And we kind of put our slant on it because of all of the impact that there's, you know, influences that there's been to us over the years, and obviously then looking at what other scriptures actually say. But there is a sense, there is a record. If you know Jesus here this morning, there's a record of it. And actually it says in Isaiah that our names are written on God's hand. Like, it's not even a separate book to him. Jesus might as well be the book. He is the way, the truth, and the life, after all. So there's this record of us with them. And so that passage says, what is the will of the Father? It says, only the ones who do the will of my Father. So I was thinking, well, what is the will of the Father? Because if we can be confident we know what the will of the Father is and we know we're doing it, that's going to help us, isn't it? Good. Okay. Thank you. I'm glad you agree with me. And so if you've got a Bible, please turn to John 6:40. If you can't get there quicker than I'm about to read it, then don't worry about it. Because I'm just going to read this one verse. And it says, for my Father's will is... Dun, 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 dun. Get ready, everyone. Get excited. You know, it's really good to use the Bible to help us understand what the Bible says. Don't go straight to what Google says it says, okay? We can sometimes actually ask the Lord and he can give us a verse. So for my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life. I will raise them up at the last day. Everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him. See, there was a guy on the cross next to Jesus. His body was pinned. All he could do was move his head. But it was enough. All he could do was roll his eyes round to look and see Jesus and believe. It was enough. It was enough. And just to back it up, in John 6:29, Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. Believe. It's good enough for a four-year-old kid. It's good enough for the rest of us. Believe. We've got a beautiful piece of artwork on the wall at the back, which has got that verse from John 3:16 on it. And it says, whoever believes in him. You know, it starts off, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. This is about intimacy. This isn't a box ticking exercise to make sure you've got a ticket. Alan says, it's not because you've got fire insurance. Some of you are thinking that through. This isn't about that. This is about intimacy. This is about us knowing him and him knowing us. The verse after that one on the wall says, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because they've not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So, going back to that passage, it says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of the Father, which we now know is believing, yeah? Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and drive out demons in your name and perform many miracles? See, there are other powers. There are other spirits that are at work. But what Jesus says to them is, I didn't know you. Can I just say, if you are a follower of Jesus, this isn't written to you. It's not. These are hard verses, but God, because Jesus is trying to get the world's attention. He's doing everything he can to say, oi, look at me. Listen. And so I just this morning want to just brush off any sense of fear or jeopardy that you have around that kind of a verse. That leaves you with any nagging voice, because that nagging voice is actually not his voice. What the spirit of religion wants to do is to come and undermine you. What the devil did in the beginning with Eve was say, are you sure? Are you sure you can trust him? He's been playing the same game all the time for years and years and years. And don't think that the devil won't use scripture to try and trip us up. He did the same thing with Jesus when Jesus was tempted in the wilderness. So he'll definitely do it to have a go at you. So let's be bold and courageous and confident to be able to stand on the truth and to be able to say, I know him and he knows me. Says in John 10, my sheep listen to my voice. This is why you're here this morning. Something caused you to come here this morning. And I know you're like me. And for some of you have come actually because you wanted to just be with others that have known and loved Roland, wanted to have been with the family. Yeah. But actually, more than that, Jesus is doing a work in you. He's compelling you because you know he wants to know you more. And you know you want to know him more. You've tasted enough of this to know there's more. There's more for me. I know there is. And once we've got that taste, you don't want to go back, do you? You want to keep going further in, further up, like C.S. Lewis would say. It's that richness of, oh, nothing else will satisfy me. This is about intimacy. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they shall never perish. No one will ever snatch. Now, this is good, right? This is really good. Just please see this, okay? No one will snatch them out of my hand, okay? So you're in Jesus's hand. Do you think he's got a good hold of you? Do you think he paid enough of a price at the cross to not let you go? Yeah? My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. Turns out there's two hands holding you. Can you believe that? There's two hands on you all the time, on your life. Two hands on your life. And let's not leave the Holy Spirit out. He's here right now with us, empowering us, leading us ever closer to the Father and the Son. I and the Father are one. Do you know, we're never out of their hand. They know you. They love you. They've poured everything out for you. That word there, they shall never perish. Do you know what that word means? That word is a double never. That word, apparently, I don't know. I'm not a Greek scholar. I had to look it up. I've worked for this morning. That word means never, not ever. Like he wanted to make doubly sure that he used a word that's like maybe just never, like in this season. Or like maybe never in this lifetime. No, never, nor ever. Ever, ever, never, never, ever. In eternity, never. Can't happen. They're never, it's never going to happen. You're never, ever going to fall out of their hands. I think they want us to be assured, yeah? So are you a sheep? So we listen to his voice. And we live a life learning. And it's intimacy. This isn't far off. This isn't, you know, a sergeant major who's standing over there just barking orders at people. Obedience has to be reframed in intimacy. That's what this is about. And if you're concerned around, yeah, but what, because I've had this conversation with people, what if it's just me imagining it? What if it's me just wanting to believe? How do I know that it's actually me believing? Maybe I just like the idea of it. Because some days I actually forget all about it. Some days I get distracted with whatever's on TV or whatever's going on at work or by those people or that tasty lunch I'm about to have. Yeah? And we looked at this on Tuesday night. Do you know... that thing of there ever being a moment where you want to believe, that sense of there being a desire in you, actually, I do want to know him. That is Jesus knocking on your door. It's literally, that's what he's doing. He's knocking on, it says in Revelation, here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person and they with me. He's the one doing the knocking. You wanting to believe is you actually responding to the knock that's going on. How do we know that? Because it says in Romans that while we were dead in our trespasses and sins, Christ died for us. Dead people can't save themselves. You don't ever go to a hospital or see on a telly show one of those hospital moments where the pads are going on and the person is somehow putting the pads on themselves to restart their own heart. That doesn't really happen, does it? Unless it's James Bond. Dashney. Actually, Iron Man almost got there as well, didn't he? If you've seen that movie. Jesus is the one who comes. He sticks the pads on. He's the one who's knocking. It says in Ephesians 2:8, it says, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God. In other words, he supplies you with the faith to believe in the first place. He's that good. There's a couple of verses which in most of our translations are, so Galatians 2:20, Galatians 2:16, there's one in Romans. Most of those in our modern translations have been translated faith in Jesus Christ. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, this is where I actually quite like the King James, because it doesn't say in, it says of. And it says that we've been justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. It was Christ's faithfulness to the Father, which in turn means it's faithfulness to us. It's him knocking on the door of our heart. I'm not saying, please don't hear what I'm not saying. That's an odd sentence. I'm not saying that our yes isn't absolutely central. Our belief is totally central. It says in Romans 10, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you'll be saved. But what I'm saying is that dead people don't save themselves. They needed a savior, and it was the faithfulness of Jesus Christ. There was a moment where Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane going through agony. There was an agony that he was going through, which was in part because he knew what was coming. He'd seen crucifixion. He'd seen horrendous treatment by the Romans. He knew physically what was going to get done to his physical body. He knew it was going to hurt. So that would be enough to cause us significant trauma, pre-trauma, anxiety, yeah? But he also knew that he was going to take on the sin of the world on himself. He knew. And there's a moment where he actually says, Father, if I don't have to do this, not my will, if there's another way, if I don't have to drink this cup. But he says, but this isn't about my will. This is about your will. And I'm going to be faithful to you. The will of the Father was that Jesus would become that propitiation, however you pronounce that word, that one that would take our sin. And Jesus willingly did it. His faithfulness to the Father and therefore for us was astonishing. And I love that for Roland and for Peter, they stood on these truths. And I feel like, just as we bring this in for a landing, I feel like we get to step up. And actually be more courageous. There's a shift going on spiritually in our nation right now. Some of you have seen the event happening in Trafalgar Square last weekend with the worship, and Pete Gregg posted some stuff, didn't he? There was 500 odd salvations in Manchester with the church up there, the guys in Leicester seeing amazing responses to the gospel. And these are among Gen Zs a lot, youngsters, for those who don't know what Gen Zs are. If you don't know what one is, you're probably not one. I'm sorry to say that. God is on the move in our nation. And this is a post-Christian setting that our young people are growing up in. What I mean by that is their parents are not believers. And often their grandparents, not either. So there's a sense of they don't even know the gospel. They don't even know that there is good news. They're like me as a four-year-old. I didn't know. And we get this opportunity now. You've got air in your lungs. Without putting too fine a point on it, we're here because we got air in our lungs. And we get to be such a provocation to the world around us. And I don't mean that we go and use language that's not helpful and condemning and all of that. Like I said, this is about love and about intimacy. This is because the Father wants his kids back. Yes, he wants it in eternity, and it's brilliant that we can have the assurance of knowing that it's in eternity, but it's also for now. Because if I walk in union with him, if I see myself as his son and not as a dirty, rotten sinner, guess what? I don't sin so much. Because he's filling my vision. And what we are doing together is filling my vision. And then the result of that, and I was going to talk about this, but there isn't time today, we'll talk about another week, but there are works that happen. Because Martin actually said to me earlier on, actually, a quote of Heidi Baker's, of, actually I've forgotten it now. Yeah, love looks like something. Thank you, I knew it was short enough that I'd remember it. But I still didn't. Love's got to look like something. Like if you're sitting here now, you receive Jesus for the first time, I promise you, you're going to end up going on an adventure with him where that love that's in here just starts pouring out. It will look like something. It will look like something. You'll love people. What did we say about Roland this morning? You know, if you knew him, you loved him. And if you knew him, and he probably hugged you as well. Why? Because he wanted to model something of the Father's love. Can we stand? This might have been a really simple preach for some of you in this room, thinking, why is he talking about this? But you know what? The devil wants to rob us of confidence. And so it's great that we are assured that we know him, he knows us, we hear his voice. It's also great that we realize that we can stand right now. And if you can stand right now, then you can stand for him right now. And God is on the move in this nation, and that includes us because we are part of this bride and we're caught up in this adventure. So Lord Jesus, we want to just give you the whole events of this last couple of days and this last few weeks. Lord, we say again that we trust you for Roland and Peter. We just make that statement. We trust you for them. And we know that they knew you. And we know that you knew them. Lord, we are so grateful for their imprint on our lives. We're so grateful for their arms around our shoulders. But Lord, I want to thank you that right now as we stand here, you've given us arms to be able to be the ones now that put arms around shoulders. You've made us to be fathers and mothers who impart the love of the Father to everyone we meet, who can say it's possible for you to know God. There is a God, and his name's Jesus, and he's so good, and he so loves you. Lord Jesus, I thank you for this assurance that we have in Scripture. And Lord, I thank you that we are together as a family, family of believers. Lord, I just want to pray for everyone that's part of the Flame of Revival group as well. Lord, that even where they are this morning, they would know something of your love and your touch and your comfort. Lord, I want to pray particularly for Gary Wilder and for Peter Ruck. Lord Jesus, that they would know something of your love and your nearness. Actually, that they would be so proud of their friend. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Well, thanks, Pete. Thanks so much. Yes. As you can... We do really appreciate you. As you can imagine, Pete has had one heck of a week. Don't know how else to put it, really. And yet, you brought us that this morning. So we're so grateful. And actually evidence of your intimacy with Jesus and the Father. We're grateful that you're obedient to him, listening to him, and you're able to bring that. I know it was not in your own strength, Holy Spirit, it's very much upon you this morning, so thank you. Guys, if you've got children, please could you go and pick them up there in the back room there. But we are done. Please hang around if you'd like to chat, pray with each other. Have a great week. Holy Spirit, anointed. Great times with each other and in a different context that you find yourselves in. See you next time. More
grace for the